You're only a true Northwesterner if you were born here. So I am not a true Northwesterner. At least that's how Ron Judd says it works. He wrote about what it means to be a true Northwesterner for Pacific Northwest magazine. Last week, Judd explained his reasoning to Bill Radke on The Week in Review.
I was intentionally using an exclusive definition, a dictionary definition, a harsh definition, that you're not technically a native unless you're born here. And I was using that as a send-up sort of our own, the natives, the almost snobbish proclivity to go, well, I was born here. You know, people didn't get the humor in that.
Judd said he was just trying to start a conversation about Northwest culture. We wanted to continue that conversation, so we brought in Knute Berger. Berger's self-given nickname is Mossback, which comes from the fact that he was born here in the Northwest. Today, Knute is the editor of Seattle Magazine, a writer for Crosscut, and he studies Northwest history. Marcy Silman asked Knute if being born in the Northwest makes a person a Northwesterner.
I don't think so. I mean, it could be part of it. You know, when you're born in a place, there's certain things in the environment that you're used to, the smell of salt air, the eating salmon, getting to look at Mount Rainier. And I think those things influence a person as they're growing up. But I know plenty of people born here who've moved away and found home in New York or Chicago, Los Angeles. I also know a lot of people who live here who came from somewhere else. And when they got off the bus or out of the minivan or whatever, they said, wow, this is home. This is where I want to live. So I've never felt it had what I call mossbackness. Doesn't have to do with where you were born. It has to do with what feels like home and letting that place shape you.
Has our idea of what it means to be a Northwesterner changed over the now almost two centuries that there have been people, white people here?
I think it's been shaped by different forces. The people who came here, the settlers who came here, shared, I think, a lot of commonality with the physical environment because they had to struggle against it so hard. So you had to come out on the Oregon Trail. You had to clear a bunch of old growth trees off your land in order to plant crops. You were living in a miserable hut in the pouring rain. I think there was a shared sense in the early days that they were part of a few. They were part of an elite, pioneer elite. And not in the sense of wealth, but in the sense of people who put up with the rigors of life here.
Well, there were many, many people from the eastern half, or even the eastern quarter, I might say, of the United States who went west to find opportunity. Is there a difference between the people who, you know, got to the Cascade Mountains and veered to the right north as opposed to those veered left?
Yeah, I was reading an account from the late 19th century, and someone was talking about that exact thing, which was, you know, you're coming out on the Oregon Trail from Missouri or wherever you're coming from, and there's a point at which you have to go north to the Oregon country in Washington, or you have to keep going west to California. And he described it as your choice was sunshine and gold versus the scent of apple and the pine. And so I think even early on, there was a sense that people who chose that apple and pine scent were kind of a different breed.
As you're talking about the apple and pine, which sounds so wonderful, I'm flashing on the Denny Party, huddled in tarps, again, or there weren't even tarps,
no tarps.
Blankets against the driving rain on Alki when, you know, this was not New York by and by. This was like gray and foggy and damp and cold. And perhaps there was the scent of evergreen trees and apples someplace, but it sure wasn't there.
Yeah, there was also the salty taste of tears as they wept on the beach. You know, and of course, I don't think anybody, you know, moving to an exposed peninsula on Puget Sound in the middle of winter, not a great idea, but...
Well, a last big topic area is the fact that, as I mentioned, this was the advent of the white settlers. But in fact, there were tribal people, Northwest tribes, who inhabited our area thousands of years before the East Coasters ever got here, or the Norwegians or whoever else in the waves came. So I'm curious how the Salish tribal identities, and I'm talking collectively about the tribes, have influenced what we think of when we think of a Northwesterner.
Well, first of all, when the whites first came here, or outsiders, because there were people from Asia as well, first came here, they were introduced to Northwestness by the native population, the indigenous population. So Lewis and Clark, you know, tried salmon on the beach, or they learned about these amazing canoes that you could do out of this amazing wood called red cedar. So a lot of these things that are part of how you use the physical environment to live and survive were introduced early on. But I think there's been a really interesting way in which the European settlers both aggressively pushed out the Native Americans when it came to power. But they appropriated a lot of what we think of as Northwest Coast art and the kind of living off the land, living off the beach and those kinds of things, appropriated a lot of that into the other cultural identity. There was also a lot of interbreeding between whites. Many of the white settlers, almost all of whom were male, it was traditional to take a Native American wife or someone who filled that role.
I'm thinking as you're talking about not just intermingling of bloods, but also that design identity, because there is an architectural style called Northwest Contemporary, and there's a whole lineage of folks who design. And that does come out of that sense of wood and woods and native structures, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's so true. In fact, when you think of the kind of mid-century modern Northwest architecture and all the great practitioners of that, the Fred Bassettis and the Paul Theories and whatnot, it really had to do with both a kind of aesthetic that had to do with the light in the region. It had to do with the Asian influence. It had to do with Native American influence. And a lot of it was the materials. I mean, they were building with old growth wood. some of those homes have, cedar beams to die for.
So there is, even if we aren't conscious of it, that legacy of the people who preceded all of us in the buildings that we see and love. I can't help thinking, just to conclude, I can't help thinking about Ron Judd's column, because most of us, at some point in our tracing ourselves back, we're newcomers to this land. So is there some aspect of being a Northwesterner that allows for, if we want to embrace it, we can become part of it?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the attractions of this area has always been, from the pioneer period to today, is the idea that you can come here and you can remake yourself. And I think a lot of people, they come here and they just feel at home. And part of that is the physical environment. But I think part of it is that openness that the culture has to creativity, to innovation, to a live and let live attitude about other people.
So that thing that's called the Seattle Freeze may exist. We may not invite you into our homes for 1,000 meals, but we'll let you be whoever you want to be.
Yes, I think a great description of what's going on there.
Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you, Marcy.
That's Knute Berger, editor of Seattle Magazine and writer for Crosscut. He told KUOW's Marcy Silman what he thinks makes a true Northwesterner. We also wanted to know what you think makes a true Northwesterner. Here's what you had to say.
My father was born in the shadow of Mount Baker, and I live in Bellingham, and I feel like a Northwesterner to my bones.
I'm a transplanted Northwesterner. I grew up in Chicago. You're a real Northwesterner when you stick your nose out the door. It's 38 degrees and drizzling, and you say, oh, what a beautiful day.
You know you're a Northwesterner because you have webbed feet. It's really simple. Take off your shoes and look.
You heard it here first. People with webbed feet, you are the true Northwesterners. This is The Record.